Good morning, saints. Good morning, sinners. Good morning, people of God. What a great joy it is to see your smiling faces as we come together this day on the first day and Sunday of November to celebrate and to worship that indeed God is good. As we come together to worship, may the presence of Christ through God's Spirit touch our hearts, our minds, and our spirits in some unique and special ways. And indeed, may the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbors.
I offer a warm welcome to all present this morning, and especially any visitors. We welcome all, and if you would like a welcome packet from the ushers or you want some information, more detailed information about the church, please see one of the ushers. Or you can get a packet hanging on the narthex. That's the area right outside the double doors. You'll find that on the shepherd's crook. A reminder to please sign the red registration sheets, or the registration sheets in the red folders located at the end of your pew. Please pass it to others and bring it back to the center aisle. If you do have a prayer request this morning, please complete the 3x5 index card and then put it in the clear holder at the end of the pew, and the ushers will bring that forward to Reverend Lake. I would like to highlight a few of our announcements. The November-December issue of The Upper Room is now available, and you can get that in regular and large print. And it's on a table in the narthex right to the left as you exit the doors. So please pick up your copy of the November-December Upper Room. A reminder also from the ladies of the church, craft show is this Saturday, November 7th. That goes from 9 to 3, and it's in the gymnasium. And it's always, they put on a great presentation of crafts and decorations and gifts and homemade goodies, especially. If you can make a donation for baked goods, please bring your baked good in by 8 o'clock on Saturday morning so the ladies can get it packaged for sale. So, again, hope to see you all at the craft show. And there is some detailed information. There is a marriage enrichment retreat called Rock Solid, and it will be held the weekend before Thanksgiving at Jamonville. And there's quite a bit of details in your bulletin if you are interested in a two-day, one-night seminar at Jamonville, beautiful Jamonville. Please check your bulletin. Now Diane has an announcement.
Actually, I have a couple. Let me see if I can remember them all. First of all, thank you for those of you who have bells or chimes with you. I would remind you that if you have a brass bell, please do not touch the brass part with your hand. After the service, if you would just bring them up and lay them on this red table over here, I would appreciate it. Secondly, for the craft show, I believe that Alice still needs people to volunteer to run the elevator. So if you can, if you're able to volunteer for that, I think just for the day of the sale, do you remember?
I think that was last week, yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, Friday.
It would be for Friday and Saturday. If you're able to help at any time, for any length of time, contact Alice, or if you let me know, I will contact her. Now, most importantly, the church directory, there's an extensive announcement in your bulletin about that. We're trying this year to do it in-house because we kind of got the impression from the witness committee that perhaps one reason that we didn't have as good of a turnout for pictures in the last directory about 6 or 7 years ago was because people just got tired of having to sit through the spiel from Olin Mills and having to put out money for packages and that sort of thing. So what we're trying to do, we have a couple of photographers from the church, and we're going to set up times after both services during Advent when hopefully all the college kids are back home and you might have extra family in. It's going to be a quick, shall we say, one-and-done picture, as long as everybody keeps their eyes open. Since we'll have at least two photographers, at one point we'll have three. We'll have multiple places to take those. I will have a sign-up list for you probably by next week, either in the narthex or passed around on a clipboard. And you can sign up for when you know your family's going to be in town. Someone asked me if there was going to be makeup pictures, for instance, the people who are gone during that time. They're out of town. And if you just let us know, we'll make arrangements for that. For the directory, since it is not subsidized by Olin Mills, there will be a small charge to cover the printing costs for the directory. So at some point, we will, when we're ready to order those, we'll be passing slips around to see who's interested in getting one. The price will vary according to how many we have to order. Okay? One final announcement. If you are here as a family member of one of the people that we are, one of the names that we are reading today, if you would like, you may come forward after the service and take one of the carnations from the middle vase on the altar and take that home in memory of your loved one. I think that's it. Thank you.
Good morning. In your bulletin, you find a small little piece of paper like this asking if you are interested in serving on committees or in different factions in the church. Please take this home with you, pray over it, and if God leads you, do something and check it off and send it back in to us so that we can fill those committees. But the reason why I came up to talk was about a slightly more specific thing. I realize that this is the second service, and people have their reasons, whether it's the time or the part of the day, or they don't like getting up early in the morning or whatever, of attending this service versus the first service. But we really need some help with the first service. We need worship leaders. Tracy is having a tough time filling spots for worship leaders. And we also need sound crew and stuff like that. So if you could go home today and pray over it, whether you've done it before, whether you've never stepped behind a podium or a soundboard, pray about it. See if God is moving you to help. If you could just spare some time at the first service to come in and help run some of these things that we all take for granted, it would be greatly appreciated. Remember last week, if you were here, I preached on do something. This is your chance to do something. So please, take it to God. Pray about it. Pray about the stuff on this list. Pray about whether he's moving you to help anywhere in this church, whether it be with the Sunday services, Sunday schools, Bible studies, the alternative service, whatever. Pray and listen and do something.
Okay, thank you, Diane and Chris. And again, there are lots of ways to serve the Lord, and hopefully you will find your niche in the quiet time of prayer. And a final reminder to just check the bulletin. We have a variety of meetings and activities and other events that pertain to the life of the church this week. We'll now turn our hearts to our music presentation. As we prepare for worship, please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt. Look, here is our God, the one we have waited for. Come, feast on rich food and dine on fine wine.
Enjoy the blessings of the Lord, the vindication of our God.
Come, let us worship the Lord. Please remain standing for our opening prayer, printed in your bulletin. Please join me. God of new beginnings, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of all things. Remove the shroud that separates us from your mighty presence, that we may see you as you are. Wipe our tears and take away our disgrace, that we may come before your throne with hearts full of song and souls ablaze with joy. Help us to live as those who are prepared to die, and enable us to die as those who go forth to live, so that whether living or dying, our hearts will always belong to you. Amen. And please remain standing for our hymn of praise number 711 in your red hymnal.
Pastor David.
Oh, thank you. You remembered. Trick or treat, I like Snickers. Yum, yum. So did you have fun last night? What did you dress up as?
A giraffe?
Vampire. You had a big neck to get on that giraffe, didn't you?
The new Cinderella.
The new Cinderella, not the old one. Okay.
Alice from Alice in Wonderland?
What's the new Alice look like?
There's not a new Alice.
Oh, or I mean a new Cinderella. Oh, okay. Okay. I dressed up as a preacher. Do I look good? Do you like my mask? I don't. Do I have a mask on today?
No.
No. Well, you know, I read a storybook. Did you make a pumpkin?
Yes.
And did you take the yuckies out of the inside?
Yes.
I did not like doing that.
You did not like doing that because they're cold and slimy and yucky. Do you know, I have a book somewhere. I couldn't find it.
I make pumpkin seeds.
Oh, and did you sprinkle salt on them and put them in the oven and cook them?
Yeah. And we put spices on them.
Well, last night at church, Saturday night church, I carved a pumpkin. And I had a helper. Her name was Vanna. I'm kidding. Vanna that turns the numbers, you know, on, what is that show? Wheel of Fortune. I called her Vanna. Was Emily. But I said, this is Vanna tonight. And I took my knife and cut the lid off and pulled up in all those yuckies. And then Emily cleaned all the yuckies out. And then I only had time for two eyes and a nose. My pumpkin didn't get a mouth, all right, which was kind of nice, couldn't talk back. And then I had a candle, got the candle in and got it lit. And you know what? The light came through the eyeballs. And through the nose. But the reason I did that, there's a story about the pumpkin patch parable. Now, parables are stories Jesus told. And so this pumpkin and carving it is about a parable where the farmer picks up the pumpkin out of the field and has to wash the dirt off it. I had to do that. And the washing of the dirt away is kind of like when we were baptized as a baby. And then the top gets cut off, and all the gook, that's what we call sin. That's when we don't listen to like moms and dads and teachers and God. Did you ever get in trouble before? Did you ever have to, when I was your age, I'd have to stand in a corner? Or did you get a timeout chair or have to go to your room? Yeah. And when I was really out of line, and it happened, well, just a few times, I got my butt smacked. Not a whole lot, but just enough I don't want to count. All right? And so that's called sin. And so when the parable is, when that gook is taken out of the pumpkin, that's getting rid of sin in our lives. And then we know God created us all, and that's giving us our face. And then the candle, that light, what do you think that stands for? Jesus, you're right. We talk about the light of Christ. That's called the Christ candle. And when that Christ lights us, then the light of Christ shines through on the pumpkin, the jack-o'-lantern, our eyes, our nose, our mouth, our faces. And so all of us should allow that light to shine through, not only on Halloween, but every day to let the light of Christ shine every single day, as we love God with our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our strength, and we love our neighbors as ourselves. That's how we let the light of Christ shine through us. Let's bow for prayer. Lord God, for these boys and girls, we are thankful. Continue, O God, to bless them. And use them for great things every day at home, at school, wherever they're found. Be with their moms and dads and all that watch over and care for them. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. Hear these words from Isaiah. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all the faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Here ends the reading from Isaiah.
I would invite you now to turn in the yellow folder our All Saints Day service. Where inside the front cover, there is a litany for us to share together. Ever-loving God, This day revives in us memories of loved ones who are no more. What happiness we shared when they walked among us. What joy when, loving and being loved, we lived our lives together. Months or years may have passed, and still we feel near to them. Our hearts yearn for them. Though the bitter grief has softened, a duller pain abides. For the place where once they stood is empty now. The links of life are broken, but the links of love and longing cannot break.
If your souls are bound up in arms,
we see them now with the eye of memory. Their faults forgiven, their virtues grow larger. So does goodness live and weakness fade from sight. We remember them with gratitude and bless their names.
Their memories bless you forever.
And we remember as well the members who but yesterday were part of our congregation and community. To all who cared for us and labored for all people, we pay tribute. May we prove worthy of carrying on the tradition of our faith, for now the task is ours. We give you thanks that they now live and reign with you. As a great crowd of witness, they surround us with their blessings and offer you hymns of praise and thanksgiving. Hear now the honor roll of saints. Robert J. Riddle. Hannah K. Blissman. Genevieve T. Sigelski. Lance L. Bucala. Jan A. Staller. Kathy M. O'Reilly. Wayne Brenzel. Orville B. Campbell. Arthur R. Howard. Margaret A. Fink. Zelma M. Stantz. Kareen M. Taskowitz. James Rhodes. Barry D. Brickle. Hazel M. Holly. Margaret Smurfett. Robert Bish. Bruce E. Blystone. Donald R. Armour. Virginia M. Lee. Shirley
E. Peckman. Daniel T. Rose. Michelle J. Powell. George Sheetsy Blissman, Jr. Maxine C. Schomer. Darlene C. Leonardo. Paul W. Shank. Anna R. Boland. Roger A. Wallach. Wendy S. Abraham. Jean E. Flory. Mary Ann Shea. Megan M. Zubala. Jolyn J. Friend. Stephanie L. Long Hall. Dorothy R. Wilson. James G. Payne. Matthew J. Gunkel. Thomas J. Jenkins, Jr. Robert Bob Lake. Michael D. Jupin, Sr. Richard S. Wicker. Ruth Waskovich. Jason W. Thompson. Dennis W. Gray. Gloria J. Myers. Paul J. Kingston, Jr. Robert Higginbotham. The endless cloud of witnesses has gone before us, leaving us a legacy of hope and discipleship. Learn from those who have shown God's love in all that they have said and done. You have been set on the path of a faithful discipleship. Be at peace. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, some of the names of these individuals are oh so tender, and they bring back a multitude of memories. We know that they have been received into your mighty arms of grace and forgiveness, that they have experienced healings and are at peace. And we pray, O God, likewise for each and every one of us, that we might experience healings and peace. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.
I would now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering. O Lord, you are the mighty one who commands the armies of heaven, yet you know and care for the poor and grieving. Thank you for the new life and hope that you so freely give. We dedicate our offering for the work of this church. May you wipe away the tears from the eyes of all who mourn in our community. We pray all of this in your holy name. Amen.
Please be seated. We come to the time to lift up joys and concerns for individuals and situations in our midst. On the back of our worship folder is our prayer list. Those three individuals listed in the hospital are home, so you can scratch them all off. And we rejoice that they are home recuperating, and we'll continue to pray for them as well. In addition, the names there under
the first category, personal care and in rehab places, the continuous ones that we are praying for, as well as those on a rotational basis per month, and then our service personnel as well. And then also to Wendell and Sarah, you see there that Sarah's brother, Robert Higginbotham, passed away. It's been a couple weeks now, hasn't it? Clear back in September 30th, so we... His memorial service, that's right, that was time away, so we remember them as well. And also I have here, pray for Jane. She recently had shoulder surgery. And of course, all you need to do also is turn on the news, and we just seem to get inundated with situations and individuals around the world where we need to pray for God's intervention and God's holy presence to be there. So let us continue with our prayer hymn this morning, number 618. Let us break bread together. Gracious God, your presence is upon us. It surrounds us every single moment of every day. And sometimes that brings us comfort, and sometimes it does not. It brings us comfort, O God, when we know we are doing what is a part of your kingdom, what is a part of the teachings of Jesus Christ. Your presence does not bring us comfort when we know, O God, that we are acting outside your kingdom, outside your will, when sin creeps in. And yet in the midst of it all, O God, this meal that we will receive later on is about your grace and your forgiveness, about your love for each and every one of us. a love that seeks to hang on and will not let us go. A love that we are forever reminded about through your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh God, as we continue to worship, we pray that we might experience your grace and your forgiveness, especially through this holy meal. And that we might be mindful then that today, in this time, we can start all over again and begin fresh and new. Well, that may mean that we need to undo some things that we've done. It may mean that we're going to be faced with some challenges today or tomorrow at work. But we know that your presence is upon us. And your Spirit seeks to guide us, to direct us, and to keep us on that pathway of your kingdom. To be followers of your Son, Jesus Christ, to take his teachings and to allow them to root within each and every one of us that we might be that person that you have created us to be. That brother or sister, that neighbor. Oh God, we are mindful of those that need to be lifted up in prayer. The names of individuals we voiced this day, the names of individuals on our prayer list. Those, oh God, who are absent with us today. We pray for comfort and peace, for wisdom, for understanding. We pray for the healings of people. Oh God, we pray that you will continue to bless and anoint us, that we might faithfully go into the world. For we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who has taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I might add that it was brought to my attention that John chapter 11 verses 32 to 44 are listed, but that's not where I'm going to read from. I'm going to read from Mark's Gospel chapter 12. And I believe what happened is that I was on a sermon retreat Sunday evening through Thursday afternoon, and I text or email Jeannie information on the bulletin, and a choice would be either the lectionary reading for today or the All Saints reading for today. The John passage is the All Saints reading for today. It's the resurrection of Lazarus and Jesus calling him forth. The Mark chapter, or the Mark verse, would be the regular readings for today, and November kicks off a whole month of stewardship sermons. Today is Love Your God. And I wasn't even thinking when I told Jeannie that I was preaching on John 11, and then when I got back to everything, I unknowingly shifted to Mark chapter 12. So that's the one you're going to hear. The good news is I have my sermon attached to the scripture I'm reading, not the one that's not being read. So if you are able, would you please stand? One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that Jesus had answered them well, I don't know about you, I find a little bit of humor in there, Well, of course Jesus answered well. He's Jesus. He has to answer well. So seeing that he answered well, the scribe asked Jesus, which commandment is first of all? And Jesus answered, the first is this. Hear, O Israel, hear, O people of God, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. Then the scribe said to him, oh, you're right. Well, of course he's right. It's Jesus. You're right, teacher. You have truly said that God is one, and besides God, there is no other. And to love God with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now that was a statement for a scribe of Jesus' day to say to love God and to love neighbor is greater than the sacrificial system. Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, Jesus said to him, you're not far off from the kingdom of God. And after that, well, no one dared ask him any more questions. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these words for us today. For they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Lord God, in these moments that we share together, give us a sense of peace and comfort. For we know that our schedules get full and hectic. And so give us a sense of rest from the activities of our daily lives and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. If you do any traveling, you will know that Venice has its gondolas, Calcutta has its petty cabs, London has its black taxis, but in Manhattan, the yellow cab is king. If you've ever had to drive in the Big Apple, you learn very quickly that the taxis rule the road. New York cabbies pride themselves in delivering their passengers curbside in the least amount of time as possible, even if it involves some nail-biting, traffic-infested streets where perhaps you want to slip out of your seatbelt and kneel at the back seat in prayer, but they will get you there. One of the reasons that New York cabbies are so good is because they know the streets. They know them well. Until recently, cabbies, in order to get their license to be a New York City cab driver, had to take an exam that contained 80 questions. I'm told that it caused some nightmares for some people trying to get into the cabbie industry. An exam that covered all five boroughs of New York City. But those 80 questions are no longer. Now the test has been reduced to 10. 10 questions. And the reason is, well, GPS systems. You punch in an address and it'll give you the best way to get there in the shortest distance or time allowed. The emphasis now of the exams is much more on safety than it is geography. The best of the old time cabbies, though, they knew the streets of New York City like the back of their hands. It was second nature to them. The scribe comes up to Jesus. He knows the law like the back of his hands. And he asks Jesus, out of all the commandments, which one is the greatest? Now, he may not have realized this, but Jesus knew the commandments at the back of his hand even better still. And so Jesus says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Jesus takes the 613 commandments found in the Torah, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, and reduces it down to two. Seriously? You got to be kidding. When you think about it, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus demands so little of his disciples, and yet so much. Love God and love your neighbor perfectly, Jesus says. That's all. Out of all the 613, love God, love your neighbor, know this, do this, and you're not far from the kingdom of God. Now, Mark seems to imply that the scribe is pleased with Jesus' answer because he says, well, teacher, you're right. But no one dares to ask Jesus another question, at least at this point in the story. Now, there's an old story about a college professor of Christian ethics who handed out an exam that had 20 difficult questions. The instructions said to read through the entire exam before writing. And most students, seeing the number of questions, well, they despaired over answering them all in the time that was allowed, and so they ignored the instructions and started working through question 1, 2, 3 on their way down. Now, there were a few students who did nothing at all. They just kind of gazed somewhere, looking off, as if trying to remember something. But one student completed the exam in a matter of minutes, submitted the paper, and walked out of the room smiling. The others looked up for a few minutes amazed and then went back diligently working through their questions. That student was the only one who passed. That student was the only one who followed the directions fully. Reading through all 20 questions before reaching the final question. And the final question said this: congratulations, you have followed the instructions perfectly. There is no need to answer the other 19 questions. Just answer this one. The question is very simple, And it's the only one that counts. Write down the name of the janitor who cleans this room. Now see, for a Christian ethics exam, it was a strangely appropriate question. It wanted to see and measure how well the students tried to love their neighbor. The janitor, the one that everybody ignored the most, but did they care about him or her enough to get their name? Because they were their neighbor. To love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. So what about you? Would you pass Jesus' new discipleship test? Let's pray. Oh God, it's very simple. To love you with our heart, our soul, our mind, and all of our strength. And to love our neighbor. That question even God asked. But who's my neighbor? And in the story, the parable that Jesus gave, the neighbor was that one that stirred and made your blood boil with anger. To love them as ourselves. That's it. It's simple. It's easy to remember. But it takes a whole life to fulfill and to be faithful to. O God, prepare our hearts, our minds, and our spirits that we might receive your grace and forgiveness as we receive your love through this holy meal of grace and forgiveness. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. We come together today to remember. To remember the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the sustaining power and presence of God's Spirit. For we remember those moments when Jesus was gathered with his disciples. Especially that moment in the upper room. When gathered there for that Seder meal, that meal that talked about historically that time when the Hebrew nation was delivered from Egypt and set free. This is our meal of grace and forgiveness where we are set free from sin. And at some point during that meal, Jesus broke from the ritual of what was to the ritual of what now is. And he said, "This is my body, and it's been broken for you. Eat and remember me." And so we remember the body of Christ that's been broken for you. And again, breaking from tradition, Jesus picked up a cup. And he said, "This cup is now the new covenant. My blood shed for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole world. Our sins today. Let us drink and receive grace and forgiveness. Amen." This morning we will be receiving communion in the pews. And I would ask that as they are passed to you, that you, especially the juice, you pass to your neighbor sitting beside you, and then you take your cup.
or hand it to the usher and then receive your cup. In the United Methodist Church, we practice open communion. This table is open to all who are here, whether you are members of this church or any church. And age is not important as well. Jesus said, "Let the children come. Don't keep them away, for they are welcome within my kingdom." And so we are all invited. The table is prepared. Let us come. Bread, a common everyday element that sustained life in the days of Jesus Christ. You hold in your hand a precious gift for you, the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, broken. Take and eat and remember him. Amen. The cup of the new covenant, the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that perfect, complete, and final sacrifice shed for us. Receive Christ's grace and forgiveness and drink and remember him. Amen. Gracious and loving God, you are our God. And we are your children. When you call us to love you with our hearts, our minds, our spirits, with all of our strength, to love our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, as ourselves, may we go and do that which you command. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn together.
gracious and loving God, your presence is upon us and within us. And so we know that we will overcome. We will walk hand in hand. We will be free. We will live in peace. Because you are the one who seeks to guide and to direct us each and every single day. Oh God, we go into the world to love you and our neighbors. And we go in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.